Family, talk to me. Can regret be a good thing? We've always heard it said that, man, never regret, because all the things that have happened to you have brought you to right here, where you're at. But I guess the real question is, are you happy where you're at? And are there some things that you did that you wish you really didn't do? Man, we get really personal about some of our regrets and talk about why we wish we never did them, because they affected us in a negative way. We hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Here is Knights at the Roundtable. And welcome to another episode of Knights at the Roundtable. It's your boy, Man Weezy, with my queen to the left, V Real on the right.
What up?
It is a beautiful night.
Do we always have these lights on?
We do always have these lights on.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for pointing it out. What are we drinking today?
Okay.
Some more Rascal?
Yes. So we're finishing our bottle of Rascal. We actually didn't talk about it last time.
Oh, wow.
I got this one at BevMo on that trip where I went, and I just was like, hey, yay, put them in the cart. This one I like, but it also made me sad because there's a dog with an angel. That means somebody's dog Rascal died, and it makes me sad. So we're drinking this in honor of Rascal.
We're gonna pour one out for Rascal.
Pour one out for Rascal.
Hey.
For the Rascal.
Here I'm loving it.
Cheers.
Just kidding.
So you know,
this one tastes grapey.
Before we get into it, I want to do a little beat. Do we have a little bit on something on what you're reading? What you're reading?
Yeah.
Tell
what was your thing you said? Oh, yeah. Tell us.
This is the part where we talk about books that we're reading and things that have spoken to us through these books. Do you have anything, B, or do you want me to give you something on mine?
I mean, I always got stuff, but I feel like, man, you know, it's going to be some Richard Rohr, some Richard Rohr.
I love it.
I have this one book. In one of these episodes, it's this new book I'm reading called Unsettling Truths. Mm. And it's the truth about, like, they call it the doctrine of discovery. Mm. So they start going in and they talk about...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. But he has this quote that's similar to a Richard Rohr quote. And he talks about... Richard Rohr has, he's kind of infamous for saying this, that before the truth sets us free, it often makes us miserable.
Mm. Mm.
And so these two authors, I forgot their names, but in this book, Unsettling Truth, they go back and they talk about how Christopher Columbus, as we've come to know, obviously what he did was very bad. Mm-hmm. You know, the way that they took advantage of the people who are already here, the native people. But the interesting thing is that from their standpoint, they felt like they were actually backed by God.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just like, we're bad people, we're coming to take your land and steal all your resources. It was actually, we're on a mission from God.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm a son of God. Mm-hmm. And I actually have the theology backed behind this. So one of his big things is, before we can move forward as a nation, we really have to be confronted with the truth that unsettles us.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And I think about that in just like even a broader term of like, what are the truths in our life that either people around us are trying to share with us, God is trying to share with us, that we know is unsettling, but in reality, like that unsettling truth is your glass ceiling.
Yeah.
So until that thing is shattered and confronted, that is how high you can go.
Dang.
That's your elevation. That's your altitude. And so before the truth sets us free, it often makes us miserable. And you could also insert uncomfortable.
Mm.
And so Unsettling Truth, man, that book, it is a huge...
I haven't started reading that one yet.
That's a great read. I'm like two chapters in, and man, it's good. Our boy DA, who came on last season.
Is he the one that told you?
Yeah, he's the one who told me about it.
I gotta
because
look it up.
It was one of those questions that I had, which is like, you know, is America a Christian nation? Mm-hmm. You know, which some people, I'd say more conservative people, really try and argue. And so I asked him, I was like, hey, what are some resources that go back into the history of this nation to kind of show like this isn't a Christian nation? And he's like, dude, you need to read Unsettling Truths. So if you're listening and you have ever asked that question, is America a Christian nation? Start off and read Unsettling Truths.
Unsettling Truths by Richard Rohr.
No, it's not by Rohr.
Is it not Rohr? Who's that one?
It's by...
Asian guy and a Native American guy.
Yes.
I can't remember
the
names.
Hold on, I'm looking this up right now. Unsettling Truths. It is by Mark Charles and Sung Chan Ra.
Unsettling Truths. Mark, I'm not even going to try in a second. Mark Charles and...
Sung Chan Ra.
Sung Chan Ra.
There you go.
Ah, all right. Well, let's get into it. Today, we're going to be talking about regret and whether or not regret can be good.
Remember those memes that would go around of people who got no regrets tattooed on themselves and it's spelled rats. Wrong?
Yo,
pero no regrets though.
Pero no regrets. I'm serious. Like, okay, so this is a question that we were thinking. It's like, you know, you've been, there's this thought in the church that all things come together for those who love God. All good things come together for those who love God. And at least in my church or back in the day, it was kind of felt or used as if like when bad things happen, most of the times we, in those bad storms, we typically like to make ourselves the victim of that thing. But yeah, if we were honest, there's a lot of storms that we were in that were fully based on the decisions that we made. Mm. And then we use a scripture like all good things for those who love the Lord. The question is, though, can regret be a feeling that we settle into because we know we made a mistake, that it's a necessary feeling that can push us into greatness, right? Side skirt shame, but push us into greatness and push us into power. Or do we want to just denounce regret and be like, we should never regret anything because it's what got you here. It's a very popular thing. Like, it's what got you here. It's hard to regret your life because who knows if you would have made a different right. decision or the yeah. quote unquote right decision, you may have not gotten to where you're at. And that's so nuanced because I guess that assumes on whether or not you like where you're at.
Yeah.
Because if you don't like where you're at, then I'm sure you're full of regret.
Yeah. You're thinking, okay, I like where I am at in my life is a direct reflection of certain decisions that I made in certain moments.
Yes.
As if like, again, this is so funny because to me, it's like I was reading this one thing and it was talking about most people view their life like this sort of maze. Life is this huge giant maze that you were just thrown into. And there is like kind of a cheese at the end of this maze that you're trying to find, whatever that nirvana is for you. And so a lot of people think that the more that I can make the right decisions, this is somehow going to lead me to the cheese. It's going to lead me to the nirvana. But if I make the bad decisions, I'm going to be going down these roads of despair. I'm going to be going into these dead ends, all this sorts of stuff. And it's crazy because I think like in both, however you want to view that, both things, you were still in the maze. Mm-hmm. And there's still a chance for nirvana. Like you're never actually ruled out. And I think a lot of people sometimes, like especially within the church, I know that there is almost like this like higher standard, which is kind of healthy, I guess, as far as something to aspire to. But it's unhealthy when you feel like constantly shame over the bad decisions that you've made. It's like you stopping in the middle of the maze and you're like, well, there's no point, I can't get there anymore. Mm-hmm. But it's a matter of you just keeping trying, like to keep going, you know?
So then in that, which I'm writing it down, what is the correct process? Like step-by-step process.
Of dealing with regret?
Of dealing with regret. So when you, okay, so, you know, we were looking up the difference, you know, Cody brought this up in our pre-VIP meeting. Shout out to all VIPs and Patreon for getting down with us. But we have a pre-episode meeting where we get to talk about the topics that we're about to discuss. And he brought up the term remorse. And so I looked up the difference between regret and remorse. And regret says, feel sad, repentant, or disappointed over something that has happened or been done, especially a loss or missed opportunity. Remorse is a deep regret or guilt for a wrong committed. I thought regret was worse than remorse.
Yeah. I thought remorse was more like grieving, like sad. I don't think I ever knew what remorse
really meant. Like remorse is really like literally in the definition, it's just deeper regret.
Wow.
Over wrongdoing.
If we were to say that, so then would it be correct to say first comes regret?
Then comes the baby.
Then comes remorse. And then what comes after that? Because I think instinctually, you said something. Instinctually, I think shame is what comes.
Yeah.
Shame is typically the thing. because I, you know, in thinking about this, regret can be, it really can. Even Mel said it in the VIP thing, that for her, she regretted sitting around all day and not getting work done like she was supposed to do.
Right.
But that regret made her feel like, I need to get my ass up and do something. So she did.
Yeah.
So for her, it was regret and I think a little bit of remorse and then action.
So I feel like regret can be the little fire that burns your ass that you're like, ah, damn it. Right?
Yeah.
Shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have said that. Why did I sit here and not work? Blah, 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 whatever. That little fire. And then shame is the consuming fire where you just let it burn you up and now you can't do anything. So I feel like there's a healthy level of flame.
Yeah.
In regret can be healthy because it helps guide you in the future. It becomes a tool for you in the future. So it's like a compass. If you don't ever feel regret, if you don't ever feel bad for something you did that was not of good character, how are you going to know in the future when you're in another situation to keep yourself out of those bad situations if you don't ever feel bad for anything you've ever done? So there's like a good, healthy level of regret.
Yeah, of sadness and pain. It's like I say this all the time to kids that I'm training, of like what happens is, especially with running, I learned this very early on, is that the technology that we have in running shoes these days is just insane. Like the Nike Alpha Flies that I have, like the dude broke the world marathon record. He ran a marathon in under 2 hours, which is just insane.
Wow.
But there's so much cushion in the shoe that like if my foot was injured, I probably wouldn't know for a long time. Wow. That's how cushioned that shoe is. But that's also problematic because if that pain that's in my foot isn't like attended to, what's going to happen is that pain is going to travel because the body's like, I'm trying to send you a message. I'm trying to send you a message. Mm. So 3 months later, that little foot pain is probably going to transfer up to my Achilles. Pretty soon it's going to come up to my calf, right? It's going to keep staying there until you get the message, right? The body's a beautiful thing. But I think in what you're saying too, like oftentimes that pain or that sadness that's felt with regret is one of those things that it is like you trying to tell you, we can do better. We can be better.
Yeah.
And I think like, again, that is one of those beautiful things that you can use as a tool to know next time, okay, maybe I didn't necessarily make the wrong decision here. I just didn't make the ideal decision here. And so I know next time I'm in this sort of context or decision like thing, I got to now be better. But I think, yeah, that's an interesting thing because to me, I think this is really actually helping me understand that because remorse is one of those things that it doesn't get you up. It keeps you down. Mm-hmm. Regret is one of those things that could actually be like a launch pad and push you forward in a good way. But if you don't actually listen to that, it'll just consume you and it'll keep you down in the remorse.
I'm realizing, go ahead, baby.
To go back to your maze picture that you painted, like going left or right or whatever, but you're still in the maze. I was just having a conversation with a friend of mine the other day and she was considering moving. And when you have a decision to make, nobody wants to make the wrong decision.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to make the right decision, whatever that even means, right? So I was trying to tell her, like, listen, let's say you move, because she's like, I want to move to Texas. I don't know if I should go to San Antonio, Austin. Like, can you tell me about Texas? And so, like the good Texas girl I am, just kidding. I was telling her about the different cities. And shout out to San Antonio. I gave you a real good review for her. I was like, listen, there really is no right or wrong decision in this. There is just make a decision. And that's your first decision.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you decide that you didn't like that city, then you have a second decision and you can move to a different city. And then you can move to a different city because nothing's permanent. So it's not like the right or wrong decision. It's just the first decision.
Yeah, that's a good way. There's this thing that I saw and it says that many people imagine that there is a right and wrong decision to be made in every situation.
Mm-hmm.
And if their decision leads to the result they desire, then they feel like they made the right decision. Mm-hmm. But if it leads to an outcome that they didn't desire, then it was automatically the wrong decision. Mm-hmm. But right and wrong aren't necessarily determined by the outcome that follows. And so it's interesting because I feel like in so many ways, everything's so black and white with that. And I, at least for me, like a lot of that has is rooted obviously in my faith because it grew up being so binary. Like it was like black and white, right and wrong. So there was constantly this pressure to always make the right decision instead of just actually having the ability to just make decisions and just continue to grow from that. You know, like so many people make the wrong decision by not making a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Dang.
And it's like, yo, it's like you're at Cheesecake Factory. We know this menu is big as hell.
Right.
Like, order something so you can eat.
Yeah.
Right? It's all good. And it's all 3,000 calories, you know?
You know, and I order the same three things every single time. Don't ever venture off none of them. Just same.
If you don't order, you don't eat, you know? Even though that menu, there's so many options.
I just Googled.
Homie, we got options.
Hey, I just Googled in America, what are the most things that people regret? Mm. And I'm on mindbodygreen.com and it says 9 things that people regret the most at the end of life. 1, they wish they had been more loving to the people who matter the most.
Mm. Oh, do you think I'm loving to you?
Yeah, babe.
Okay, good.
They wish they had been a better spouse, parent, or child.
Do you think I'm a good spouse?
Yeah, babe.
Okay.
They wish they had not spent so much time working.
Mm-hmm.
They wish they had taken more risk.
Mm.
They wish they had been happier and enjoyed life more.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. They wish they had lived their dream.
Shoots.
They wish they had taken better care of themselves. Mm. They wish they had done more for others. And they wish they had chosen more meaningful work.
Interesting.
And hearing those things, does any of these things stick out to you personally? Because this, let me look at this second website that has a little bit different. The first one on this one is 2, spend more time with people you love. So obviously that's like number one trending on all of them, on all 3 sites that I've been to. Number 2 for this one is, I wish I had worried less.
Mm.
I wish I had forgiven more.
Mm.
Yeah.
I wish I had stood up for myself.
Mm.
I wish I had lived my own life.
Okay.
I wish I had been more honest.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had worked less. That's another, work less is in here.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had cared less what other people think.
Ooh.
I wish I had lived up to my full potential.
Mm.
I wish I faced my fears. I wish I stopped chasing the wrong things. Mm. And I wish I lived more in the moment.
Oof.
Wow, that one's a good one. That list is good.
Out of all those, though, what speaks most to your regret?
Well, the one I had E40 was I wish I cared less about what people think. I definitely care a lot about what people think, and it's hard because being a public figure, being somebody who's creating content for consumers, like mm-hmm. I need the consumer to like the content. And a lot of times the content is just me. It's my life.
Yeah.
And so if they don't like the content, they don't like me. So I care about what people think too much. So I definitely resonated with that one. And the working less one, which is something I already learned over this quarantine/sabbatical that I was on, is that I was working real hard and my life was not balanced. And sure, I made good money, but I was exhausted. I was tired. I didn't get to spend good memories, quality time with those that I love. Like I didn't get to go on good date nights with my husband because I was too tired from working, all the things. So I definitely resonate with working less and caring what other people think.
I feel like here's why I feel really good.
Oh, you didn't like none of those?
No, not you. I'm talking about for me. Like when I'm reading these things, I feel like I found myself in a lot of these things.
Mm.
Yeah.
At some point in my life, but I'm also immensely grateful that I've literally attacked every single one of these things. So when I say, I wish I stopped chasing the wrong things, when we first got married, right? I was just freaking buying clothes, you know, spending money on all this dumb shit, trying to chase this idea of I need to show people I'm successful. Praise God he brought me out of that. I wish I'd faced my fears for a long time, my stomach issues. You know, I didn't want to go nowhere. I didn't want to travel anywhere. I'm still working on that. You know, but I'm taking crazy steps because now I'm traveling everywhere and just freaking dealing with it.
And hold on, to credit you a little bit on your buying stuff was not just to prove to people that you're successful. It's because you're also just very fashionable.
Yeah, I love clothes. So, I love clothes. So yeah, but in the back of my mind, there was a little bit that I think I was insecure shopping.
Sure.
I wish I lived up to my potential. I feel like I'm freaking trying that every day. Care less about what other people think. I don't give two shits what other people think. I wish I worked less. I've had enough years of where I just chilled and did nothing. So I'm like, I don't need that. Been more honest. I'm brutally honest to a bad. I'm horrible at it. Live my own life. I've never lived anybody else's. Stood up for myself. I freaking almost got in a fight before I got here because somebody tried to cut me off. I'm just kidding. You would have been proud of me. I was very cordial to him.
He prayed for him. He blessed
him. I was super. All I told him was, hey, you okay? That's why I asked. I said, are you okay? And he cursed me out. And I was like, oh, because you seem like there's a problem. But he didn't make eye contact with me.
He cut you off or you cut him off? Because why he?
I didn't cut him off. I was just driving the speed limit. So he was really upset that he couldn't get around me. And I'm like, bruh, I'm driving the speed limit. Anyways, I wish I had worried less. This one is transient in my life.
Same.
I feel like there are times I worry, and mainly what has been in this season is worrying that I'm behind somehow, that I regret not making certain decisions. So sometimes I get stuck in, and my mind to Manny was about this today, where, you know, I had two failed record deals. And I want to regret that I didn't pick the right team. But when I think about that, I feel like I'm kind of, for me to say that I wish I would have picked the right people, and it's funny because I meant what I said. I think it's important, but part of my spirit felt convicted because I'm not the right people. I'm a good dude. I work hard, but I'm by far not perfect.
And you're super handsome.
Yeah, but okay, thanks. But what I'm saying is, like, the other people in the group could look at me and be like, but this dude is this, 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 and this. So it's kind of like, for me to be like, I regret picking the wrong people is me saying, I was the best, y'all sucked. And that just is not true.
And the other thing, too, about that is, at that time, that was a good decision.
Right.
Like, at the time, you use what resources, what knowledge, what background you had available to you in that moment. And it's only when we look at things hindsight, we're like, that was a bad decision.
Right.
But in that moment, that seemed like a great decision. You know what I'm saying? And so that's like one thing, too, that I, even when I think about just this thing of regret, is like, a lot of those times it's because I know what I know now. And then it goes back to what you first opened up with of like, hey, that those decisions got me here to this point.
Yeah.
So now I know better, but back then I didn't know better. And again, that's the thing I even struggle with too, because I'm such a perfectionist and I'm so hard on myself. I am my worst critic.
Yeah.
And so I always think about, man, I wish younger Brandon was just like, you know, fill in the blank, all this stuff. And I think, dude, younger Brandon really thought, hey, this is the best that I could do right now.
Aww.
And then it's only now looking back that I know what's available even more.
Yeah. I are there any regrets, though, that you have that does not feel like, oh, this it got me to where I'm at, but more so it's like I'm still stuck in this area of my life because I did this dumb shit? I have one. What? Super honest.
What?
I think I told you this before. Super honest, and it's a sexual thing. Okay.
Uh-oh.
So one time I was with this girl, loved her a lot.
What's her name?
Babe.
I'm kidding.
At what stage? Was this post college, during college?
Post college.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and this was weird. But, you know, everybody got fetish. So I don't want to say it's weird. Oh, no. Let me stop. Everybody
Where
has
are
a fetish.
Going?
Wait, are you scared that I'm gonna get into this? Okay, so everybody has a fetish, right? So for this person enjoyed, and this is not weird
fetish.
Okay,
I know what you're saying.
This person enjoyed, like a lot of people do, when a person will pleasure yourself. So there's guys that love it when girls take care of themselves in front of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I guess there's some girls that like it when guys take care of themselves in front of them. I have never done, never in my life have ever struggled with masturbation or anything like that. I literally always thought masturbation was for people who couldn't get any. So it was very much a pride thing. It was not a holy thing. It was more like, y'all fools got to play with yourselves. Like, I'll just go get a girl. Like, it's that simple for me. So it was very like a pride thing. But for whatever reason, this girl, you know, thought it was hot. And me loving her and wanting to like always please and be a pleaser was like, okay, well, it's not going to work because this doesn't work on me. Like, it's kind of whack. But if the sight of it makes it better for you, okay, cool, I'll pretend. And in my pretending, I see her and then she gets all crazy riled up, which then makes me like all riled up because I'm like, oh my gosh, she's getting riled up. This is working. So we're going back and forth on kind of feeding each other. And then something happens where it's the first time I ever like
go
take care of myself. Uh-huh. And I never thought it was possible because literally anytime I even ventured into thinking about it, I was like, bruh, you are not some, you know, ugly dude in the room who can't get a chick. That's literally what I thought of it.
That's funny.
And so because I opened that door, now I knew that I could actually take care of myself. Where before, the only ever option was you go to a girl. And now that I know that, now it's a constant thought of, oh, you can always take care of yourself. And I hate that that's a thought. I wish I was still the dude that was like, this shit don't work. That's literally what I thought.
Your wife's right there.
Yeah.
Wake her up.
Like, I don't need anything. You know what I'm saying? But that's so whack. But that's a very real story.
Dude, that's hilarious because for those of us who were like, actually, I can't speak for all of us. I can only speak for me. But like being in the purity culture and like, you know, obviously not having sex before marriage. Mm. Dude, masturbation was like the only thing to like take care.
Right.
Like, for real. So that was like the thought, if you were to take away masturbation and not have sex, that would be like the worst thing ever. Like, bro. I can't jack off or get off. Like, you know, this is terrible. This is take me out of this now.
Yeah.
Dude, it's interesting because I was thinking about some of my biggest regrets. And again, like, I haven't done really any crazy, crazy stuff. Like, I mostly had my shit together for most of my life. It's only within these last couple years that I've actually explored and like tried different things. And if you listen to this pod, you've heard my story. And so it's interesting because I think early on, like I think about how devoted I was like to Christianity and like mm-hmm. revival and all that sorts of stuff. And it like, I can't really say that I regret it, but it's weird because when I look back, there are some feelings of sadness there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it's weird to categorize it as regret, but I think about like how many years I spent believing just all of it, mm-hmm. you know, and I still believe some of it, but I don't believe all of it. Mm. And I think like the thing that I regret or the thing that feels like regret is like once I got out on the other end and I deconstructed, I just saw how much more amazing and beautiful and big God is. Mm. And this world is and how much life there is out there.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I realized though that like all those years was what helped build the foundation so that I could actually have some security. And early on, like you need that.
Yeah.
So I realized like it wouldn't have been good to give me all this freedom when I'm a teenager.
Right.
Cause I would have probably, I'd probably be some addict somewhere today, mm-hmm. you know? So, and then I think about too, even like girls I used to mess with, even though I had no intention of like really like trying to be in a relationship with them and like hearts that I broke and stuff. And I'm like, man, I regret that. But at the same time too, I'm also like, oh, I really learned like what I actually like. I learned a little bit about myself. I learned what I'm like in different situations. So it's funny because like, sure, I think I could look at some of this stuff as regret. But I think really it's like it's all been these lessons that have helped build just a fuller me, you know? And I think the problem sometimes with regret is that we really think that we have the power to make decisions to completely remove ourselves from whatever thing God has for us in our life. Mm. Like, we really feel like we are powerful enough to completely ruin our lives or ruin ourselves that we couldn't even get into heaven or something like that. Like, I think about, like, the person who is the absolute worst and makes the absolute worst decisions in every situation. I truly believe at the end of the day, they still get the cheese. Like in the maze, it's like we're still all in the maze together. And I think, like, that's the thing with regret is like, and I think that's the biggest lie of regret, is that somehow you have ruined yourself from entering in all that God has for you.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, I it's weird because I feel like I have regrets, but I'm thinking about it and I'm like, I actually don't have any regrets. And it's not that I'm perfect. It's just that, like, I'm aware of the lessons that those not ideal decisions taught me.
Yeah. My regret was only because there was no lesson. There's just, you're an idiot. You shouldn't have done it. Because it's the last shit I want to do.
Sorry you came, bro.
I hate it.
I'm still imagining Manny trying to wake me up so he doesn't have to.
I wouldn't even think about it. I'd be like, this isn't even an option.
Well, I always say that I regret not hoeing out before marriage. But kind of like what you're saying, like, it got me here. Like, I'm glad that I didn't hoe out because I don't have an STD.
Yeah.
I didn't get pregnant. I didn't suffer, like, more heartbreaks than I already did. You know what I mean? Like, so there was some protection to that, for sure, not hoeing out. But there's just that little piece of me that's like, I kind of wish I would have just went on a vacation and met a dude and was like, yo, here's my hotel room key, or like some, you know what I mean? Like some movie scene. Like, I wish I had like a movie scene at least once, maybe twice. I remember we were in Spain and our waitress was telling us, like, she was from not Spain, like another Spanish speaking country, but she was living in Spain for a little while. She was waitressing. Before that, she was in Thailand, and she was working at a resort there and just kind of bouncing around, like, all over the world. And I was like, that sounds like fun. Like, I kind of wish I would have, like, done that and, like, lived in, like, each city, not, like, conservatively lived by, like, what's it called, purity culture rules, but just, like, go to Thailand and live, honey, on a resort. Go to Spain and live, honey. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of wish I did that, but I didn't.
That's one of my regrets too. Pre-marriage, I wish I would have lived in different cities. I wish I would have lived in New York. I wish I would have lived in Boston. I wish.
But when I say live, I mean, like, live, like, meet somebody, hook up, live.
Oh,
well, but I mean, also live in a house there too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want, like, I regret it because I'm like, man, there's so many places that I wanted to just post up to, and I could have because I was a musician and all I did was fly out, so I could have flown out from anywhere.
And then you married a homebody.
Yeah. Yeah, I married somebody that don't
straight
like
straight up. Dude, you know, I actually, okay, now that you said that, I thought about something. I think one of the things before I got married, I spent so much time worrying about who I was going to marry. And I spent so much time focusing on, like, I got to get here. I got to get married. I got to get married. I got to get married. Like, that's like the next thing in my life.
Yeah.
Instead of actually being present. Yeah. Like, and it's not that I, like, envied single Brandon. It's not. But I just think, like, man, I spent so much time looking for the next thing and worrying about what the next thing would look like that I wasn't actually able to be present. And those are the two things, actually, from what you said earlier, that were the things that actually, like, is still in my life today. Like, I worry so much because I tend to want to have control of the situation. So I'm always trying to make things happen. But then the other thing too is not being present. Right. That is, that's
one of the things too.
That's Maddie's biggest, like, gripe against me. It's not even really a gripe. It's like, we were talking about this earlier and we'll get into this more, but, like, sometimes I'm so much in my head worrying that I'm actually not able to be present with her. Mm. Like, we'll be sitting on the couch and I'll be on my phone, like worrying. I'll be like trying to think about, hey, tomorrow, what's happening in the market, stock market? I got to get up at 6:30, you know, I'm trying to worry to like make this stuff happen for my family. And it's like, I'm trying to make something happen for my family and my family is right here on the couch. Like, be with us, dude.
Yeah.
Mm. You know? So like, that's, it's funny because that's a regret, because that's been an actual ongoing thing in my life. Even when I was younger, my mom, like, she was just over last weekend and we were talking about it. And even when I was a little kid, like, I was never able to just be here. Mm. And that's part of being an Enneagram 3. Like, you're always like, you're this achiever. So you're like, what's the next accomplishment? What's the next success? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's it, man. Like, from that list, it's like worrying and then not being present. Those are the two things that I like. I haven't learned those lessons yet. I'm aware of them, but I just need to be better at being intentional about going against them.
I just had a revelation because of the outcome of the first disintegration of my group and my vocal nodes. Mm-hmm. I was forced into doing nothing, and it taught me that lesson of being present. It's when I lost all care about everything. Like, I just didn't care about anything anymore, which is interesting. I call it my hippie Jesus phase. I just stopped caring about what people thought. I stopped caring about vocation, you know. I stopped caring about being an artist. I stopped caring about it all. But it took me getting dropped from a label and losing my voice and not being able to talk for 6 months. I don't regret that at all. Like, that was like a beautiful place. But I think for people listening, which we had this conversation with the group on the pre-prod hangout, I think there are some things that people can be stuck in regret right now, that the proper steps, I wrote them down. Maybe you find yourself in one of these. As we were talking, I was just writing it down, and one move through would be regret goes to remorse, goes to motivation, goes to action. Mm. That was Mel. Or there's regret that moves to remorse, that moves to shame, that can easily move to depression. Mm-hmm. Or regret that moves to remorse, that moves to sadness, that could possibly move to self-responsibility. Are there any ones that you think, because like I brought up a extreme case, like if somebody, you know, if I ended up accidentally murdering somebody, or if my ass was on my phone and I was texting and then I freaking ran over a kid.
Shot caller.
I feel like what Cody said on the talk was, you know, sometimes you have to distinguish between regret, remorse, and then there's shame or there's grief. And you should be allowed to, shame is always going to be the worst thing you can do for yourself, because shame will only push you further down and it'll make you feel worse about yourself. Mm-hmm. So if you're currently in the stage of shame, that's not God. It's not good. Mm-hmm. It's not anything for you.
It's not helping you.
It doesn't matter what it is. But grief, on the other hand, grief is that lamenting of a decision made that you cannot reverse. Some things you can reverse. You know, like you regret being with this dude. Well, you can not be with the whack dude again. Sure. Or you regret quitting this job for the dumb reason you did. Well, you know what? You cannot quit your next job for that reason. But, you know, my biggest fear is going to prison for some dumb thing. And I know for a fact nothing in me will be like, you know, all things work for the good of God. No, I'd be like, you are a freaking idiot. And it would be hard for me to move from sadness and shame because of the weight of what I did, that I feel like when you know better, it's really hard to move out of those, those realms, because this is now something I cannot change. I can't bring back the person. I'm stuck in prison. Just speaking about it scares the living life out of me. Like, it hurts my heart. It makes me want to throw away my phone and be so present when I drive, you know, because it's so fearful. But I wonder if there's decisions, and if people listening, that if they've made decisions to where it's like, do they have to learn to deal with grief? Get out of shame into grief, but be okay with that emotion being there for the rest of your life. And is that wrong? Does that make sense?
Kinda. I mean, go ahead, Brandon.
I was gonna say, again, obviously, if you're grieving and that thing has been like, you've been grieving for years and years, like you should see somebody to get some help, you know, who could help you process that and give you the proper tools. I don't think grief was something we were meant to carry for the long run. You know, I think that like grief always presents this opportunity for us if we are going to tell the truth about ourselves. I think that's what grief is trying to present with us. And there's a lot of people who can't really tell the truth about themselves, so therefore they stay in that place of grief. And so I think by saying that, I think of like, you know, for example, now this is 2 months ago, my grandmother passed. So I'm still in a process of grieving. Now, again, it just means when those feelings come where I just feel sadness and I feel that loss and then that emptiness, I just remind myself of like, you know, all the things that she was to me and all the things that she was to other people. And I realize like, hey, it's okay to feel what I'm feeling and admit it, but it's not like that's the way you deal with grief. It's not like, hey, I'm denying that I feel this way. Oh, no, stay optimistic. Right, right. It's just telling the truth of what that is at the same time. But then I don't know if that's an interesting thing because I think of like a, like in the situation that you shared, like if someone kills somebody, are they going to be grieving over that loss the rest of their lives? Like at some point,
I don't know if you're life in prison, how can you not? How can you not? Like I think about my sister. We just had a conversation with my sister, and my sister lost her husband, my niece's dad, you know, damn near 16 years ago. And she's like, baby, it has not gotten less. Like, I feel it as much as I felt it the day after. Remember, babe, she was on the phone with us and she's like, it doesn't get easier.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I don't know if I'll ever stop grieving him. And I don't think it's because she wants to live in the past, but more so because she's present in a future that doesn't involve him. Mm. And there's enough memories, there's enough of a life lived together that I think she can kind of shape what her present life would look like if he was still around. It'd be a whole different thing. And I don't know if that grief will ever leave her. Maybe if she gets a new dude, because then he will somehow fill that archetypical structure that she's, I don't know if she's craving or that she feels like she needs, but I felt her when she said that.
Yeah.
Because I could imagine if I was in that position, and it's like, man, it's very real.
I mean, I know two people, unfortunately, who have accidentally killed somebody with their cars and both went to prison. Both are out of prison. I don't keep up with them regularly enough to know if they are still grieving.
It was fully an accident? Or
both of them were driving under the influence.
Oh, okay.
And both of them, the person who died was their friend in their car.
Whoa.
So
it is like shock collar then.
Yeah.
I don't know what they still carry. I know one is very religious now and very much Jesus and going to church and stuff. And the other one, no. But I don't know how they are years later now processing. It's been over 10 years in both situations.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're holding on to it or how they would process it, what kind of level of regret or shame that they live with. I don't know.
And I don't know if it's an easy answer. I do know that if it's shame you're feeling, shame would be the only thing that I would scream against.
And I would almost guess to say that there are some other residual things that they're feeling that they may not even know are linked to the shame from what they did. Bad health, issues. Why can't I stop eating this way and lose this weight? Well, there could be like this shame that's over them, that's keeping them in this depressed, like, I just eat junk food type of thing. You know what I mean? Like, who knows what else is going on in their life that's a byproduct from shame, from a decision that they've made in their life.
Well, look, I don't know what it could be, what it is. All I know is that if you're moving through some one of these stages, regret, remorse brings you to motivation, brings you to actual action. Or if regret and remorse bring you to shame and depression or sadness, that brings about a responsibility that you have of yourself. I feel like the only thing that we feel strongly about would be the idea of keeping yourself in shame and how it's just not, it's not productive for your life, for your heart, for anyone around you. Mm-hmm. And I feel like comparing yourself to someone else and judging your misstep or your sin or your mistake against someone else's is also a horrible thing to do. It's funny because I was talking to Kat on email and she brought up this very thing where she was like, it's hard to let go of other people that are manipulative and they're doing bad things. It's hard to just give them a pass. And I told her, I was like, it's hard when you think that your sin is lesser than theirs. Mm-hmm. That's when it's hard. It's hard when there's more ego involved than grace. Because you're actually thinking their sin is worse. You're comparing. And I don't think that would benefit you at all either. Like, I feel like move through sadness, move through remorse, you know, move through self-responsibility, move through all these emotions, move through grief. Never stay stuck in any one of them if you can, especially shame. This is a conversation that can go on forever. Hit us up if you guys have anything that you are dealing with on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, whatever. DM us. If there is something that you guys still feel shame or regret for and you need to chat it out, love to hear from you. And again, shout out to the Patreon. Mm-hmm. Love you guys. Thanks for coming on pre-show.
Contributing all these thoughts.
It's so beautiful, you know, the Patreon thing, because I really feel like it's becoming a family and it's
totally,
it's pretty awesome. And I'm going to speak it on here because I keep saying it, that I'm like, this year, I'm going to claim 1,000 people to give $2. I feel like a freaking TV evangelist preacher.
I know. You really do.
Right now. There's a number on your screen.
Yeah, I feel it. Come down to the altar. 1,000 people. No. I'm just saying that to myself, that I'm like, because it, you know, $2 is such a little amount. But to me, I'm like, man, I see, you know, we could do with that and how... My ultimate goal, if you haven't heard me say it before, I would love for us to tour this thing. I would love for us to get on the road and come to your city and hold a conference or an event where we just do this live and have we're fun. Able to interact with you guys on a live session. And you know, all that takes money. So if you're rocking with us, rock with us. This is not a TV evangelism. We're still going to do it no matter what. so it's not like you got to keep our lights on, but... You do keep our lights on. Thank you. Thank you all Patreon members. You freaking rock. From the top to the bottom, from the bottom to the top. And we like to say, pray you find a seat at the table. But if you don't, you are always welcome at ours. Cheers. We love you guys.
For a minimum of $2. Just kidding.